Hi, everyone. And Cheryl, I want to thank you for taking an extra long shift today while Ken was moving. We really, really appreciate it. He is in Pueblo now in his new house. But thank you, Cheryl, for helping us out. And I just checked. Excuse me. I just checked and the internet broadcast is working. Awakening Together Radio is now broadcasting from Pueblo, Colorado again. Only a few weeks, was it not, right? It was always in Pueblo at Lynn's house. And then it moved to California in October. And here we are in December, only less than a couple months later. And it's already right back in Pueblo. Ken, do you want to take the mic for a second and just share about your experience in your new house? I think we'd love to hear. I'll release the mic and see if... Yeah, okay, here you go. Here's the mic.
Yeah, well, snow. I'm a Southern California boy, and after driving the snow and getting over the passes to get here was very interesting. Got to the house, and there's about 5 inches of snow in the driveway. And, yes, Cheryl, get over it. It's just a shock for this Southern California boy that grew up in the high desert and saw snow for maybe a day every 7 years. But it's wonderful. Got everything set up here. As Regina said, the radio is, or internet broadcast computer is broadcasting away. And yeah, I saw that it looked like someone had done some shoveling here. Yeah, I thank you for that. Not being all that familiar to with doing all that walking on snow. And I did find 3 little containers of soup and a beautiful poinsettia here. So thank you very much. It's really wonderful to be here in a 3,200 square foot house with a full basement, moving from a 1,200 square foot house.
And we have coffee.
And we have coffee! Woo! So I'll turn the mic back over to you, Regina, for the guided meditation.
Well, thank you very much. But actually, even though I am on the schedule for the meditation, I don't think I'm going to do a meditation. And one reason for that is I am a little tired. I was out in the snow shoveling today, and then I took Jamie for a walk in the snow, and I did some moving of chairs from Danielle's house over to my house. And I'm just a little tired, so I feel a little too tired to lead a meditation. I think I would just start snoozing or something. So I'm going to shift the schedule if that's okay with you guys. I am going to go ahead and teach from the 7 steps to awakening for a little bit. I think that will be a little better for me, because I'll be remaining active. So I am going to teach quote 742 at least. That's the one we're up to, I think. Let me read it and make sure we haven't already done that one. No, we haven't. So let me give you the link to my journal. And I think I probably won't play music since we only have a little bit of time here before our Awakening Together satsang with Jacqueline Eckert and Kate Greaves. By the way, I have an email from Kate Greaves that I haven't fully read yet because I just got in just a little bit ago. But I think she's going to take a regular teaching time here in the sanctuary. I'll read that a little more carefully, but I'm pretty sure that's what this says. So I think that Kate Greaves is going to be joining us, just like Gina Lake has joined us. So I'm really excited about that. What I would like to do, even though I'm not playing music, is be still for a moment. So why don't we do that? Let's just be still for a moment. Thank you. right, thank you very much. So let me read quote 742 from the Seven Steps to Awakening. Self-knowledge is the realization of the unreality of the ego sense. Nothing else can ensure your true welfare. Hence, first abandon the individualized ego sense. I'll read it one more time and then something has come to mind, so I'll start sharing that. Self-knowledge, and here, by the way, it's the capital S, so this means true self-knowledge. Self-knowledge is the realization of the unreality of the ego sense. Nothing else can ensure your true welfare. Hence, first abandon the individualized ego sense. So, I'm sure many of you know that A Course in Miracles says, in my defenselessness, my safety lies. Let me let Jamie in. She's crying. Come on in, my love. Yeah. She actually just wants me to leave the door open. Jasmine and Ron are upstairs watching Star Wars, and so I had closed the door so that maybe we wouldn't have a sound collision between Star Wars and my teaching. But Jamie doesn't like the doors closed because then she feels separated from whoever's on the other side of the door. So whether she's going to be out there or whether she's going to be in here, she wants the door open because then somehow she still feels like she's with everyone. So I've opened the door for her. But as I was saying, in my defenselessness, my safety lies. This quote to me is saying the same thing. With that thought in your mind, listen to this quote again. True self-knowledge is the realization of the unreality of the ego sense. Nothing else can ensure your true welfare. Nothing else can ensure your true welfare. Hence, first abandon the individualized ego sense. In my defenselessness, my safety lies. What I think at least some people don't realize about in my defenselessness, my safety lies, is that when I defend myself, and I'm not necessarily talking about physical defense, like if somebody was attacking me. And the reason I'm not talking about physical offense if somebody was attacking me is simply because I think in those types of situations, whatever we do is just so automatic. You know, it just is what it is. You know, if somebody starts attacking you, you respond the way you respond, and your ego may criticize you later. But you know, it just happens. So I'm not really referring to that. Yeah, I'm referring to, as Kathy has written on the board, I'm referring to defending a position or a belief. So, for example, one of the things that I've been sharing lately, I shared it again this morning, is that I'm kind of right now abandoning, I don't know how to word this clearly, I'm just going to say I'm abandoning the goal of awake, being awake, becoming awake. And as I mentioned, the real reason I'm letting go of that is I actually just think that that idea itself has become an obstacle for way too many people. And I think that we can just forget all about being awake or becoming awake and instead just look genuinely at our current experience and see where we need to place our attention. Just forget this awakeness stuff for now. And that's, you know, you could call that my current position. That's what feels right for me right now. So let's imagine then that somebody here decides to, in one way or another, tell me that I'm wrong. You know, you could take a couple of different positions. You could say that you absolutely must have awake as a goal. In fact, it has to be your top priority or you will never achieve it. Or another position could be, hey, we're already awake. You know? There's nothing to do. There's nothing to practice. And either one of those positions are actually a little different than the one I'm taking. So let's say that somebody steps in here and decides to take one of these other positions. If I then feel attacked, if I feel attacked in any way, if I feel criticized, and I feel like I need to defend my position, I need to explain, you know, to whoever typed on the board why I'm right. What I'm really doing when I do that is I am defending the me. Because I have identified with that position. That's what's happened. I've identified with that position. This is my position. And in order for the me to feel safe, I have to be right. It feels very, very threatening to be wrong. So I have to be right. And so when I defend my position against the person who wrote on the board, what I'm really, really doing is defending the ego sense. I'm defending the ego sense. I'm defending the false self. And that's where the error lies in defense. Also, you know, one thing about the false self, regardless of what type of false self it is, whether it's saintly or a sinner or somewhere in between, it doesn't really matter. The false self is a temporary apparition. And that false self is going to end at some time. And of course, we know that. We really do. We have that knowledge. And so when we're identified with the false self, we feel very, very vulnerable. Right, because we think we're going to die, because the false self is going to end. And so we think we're going to die. We feel very, very vulnerable. So there's no lasting sense of safety or security when we're identified with the false self. In my defenselessness, my safety lies. So I state a position. And someone on the board is you know, being very clear that they think I'm wrong. You know, this is, you know, it's a pretty strong opposite position or different position. And so they're being very clear that they think I'm wrong. If I notice anything coming up in me about that, it is best for me just to watch what is coming up in me about that and to do nothing in response. So if I have some desire to defend, I have some desire to prove that I am right, it is much better just to watch that. Just watch that energy of wanting to prove that I am right. And do nothing to actually defend. Because again, I'm not defending myself. I'm not defending my position. I'm defending the false self. And so if I just watch that urge to defend and I do nothing but watch it, I'm actually letting go of my identification with the false self to some degree. And when the identification with the false self is fading, what naturally arises is the realization that I am the true self. Because if I'm not the false self, what am I? Right? I'm the true self. And it's in the realization that I'm the true self that my, quote, my safety lies. Yeah, and Dance is saying there's a difference between clarification and defense. And I agree. It's all about what I'm feeling on the inside. You know, so, you know, if somebody says something and I see that they're just not understanding, you know, like I feel like I'm just being misunderstood and there's no desire to defend, there's no need to be right or anything, but it's just naturally coming up to clarify what I'm saying, to try and be a little more clear with my words, you know, that's okay. Especially if I'm in a position here with the mic, you know, as we are in the sanctuary. There's nothing wrong with, you know, trying to be very clear with our words. But defense comes from something different. And if you're very, very in tune with yourself, you can feel that. You can feel when you want to defend yourself, first you feel in some way threatened. You feel in some way attacked, right? And so when that is there, that's what just needs to be watched. That is what just needs to be watched. Because if I defend myself, then I identify with the false self. So let's look at this quote again then in the Seven Steps to Awakening. Again, this is quote number 742. True self-knowledge is the realization of the unreality of the ego sense. Nothing else can ensure your true welfare. Hence, first abandon the individualized ego sense. So you can see maybe that if there's this feeling of being attacked, this feeling of being threatened, my position is threatened, my rightness is threatened, right? If there's this feeling of being threatened, and then I choose not to practice defense, I choose to just watch this energy in me that wants to defend and do nothing. Remember the line from the Course, I need do nothing. I choose to just watch it and do nothing. This is me abandoning the ego sense. This is me having a realization of the unreality of the ego sense. The ego is not me. Therefore, I do not need to defend any position it has taken. And so what both A Course in Miracles and in this case, the Yoga Vidya, I think if you guys heard me with Rick Archer the day, he corrected my pronunciation. So we'll go on the assumption that he's correct. I don't know that for a fact either. But he called it Yoga Vashishta, which is a lot more fun to say. So let's assume A Course in Miracles and the Yoga Vashishta, Vashishta, is correct. That would mean it is a very useful practice not to defend myself. It's a very useful practice not to defend myself. And, you know, those of you who know, have known me for a long time, I think you know that this was a primary practice for me until it didn't need to be a primary practice anymore because it was natural. But I used to, once upon a time, post on the Peace of God, and also another Yahoo group. And this was shortly after NTI was published, and there were definitely people in the Course community who were not at all fond of NTI, because at that time there was this thought that Helen was the only true scribe, and everybody else who said they were scribing, they were a fake. And so And so what would happen when I would make posts, it would seem like no matter what post I would make, there would be what we could call, for lack of better words, you know, attacking, you know, telling the Regina person why she's wrong, why NTI is wrong, blah, 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 blah. And what came up in me during that time was a huge, huge urge to defend. And the huge urge to defend, it seemed to come from a place of innocence, but this would be what the Course would call the face of innocence rather than true innocence, because true innocence would have no need to defend, right? So this came from the face of innocence, but it seemed to come from a place of innocence, because what the thought was here was that, you know, NTI is just now coming out. I know how useful NTI was to me. Therefore, I know NTI will be useful to others, and these people, these attackers, are going to trample on it and destroy it, destroy its reputation before anybody even has a chance to read it and possibly be helped from it. And so it seemed like, you know, within the story of the mind, it seemed like I needed to protect NTI's reputation, not to protect me. Now, this is the story in the mind, not to protect me, but in order to protect those people out there who I don't even know who they are, who would be helped by NTI if they ever were to get it. So this is the way the mind was. You know, you need to, you know, these poor people out here that NTI is written for them, they'll never get it if I don't stand up and protect NTI's reputation right now while it's being attacked. This was the story in the mind, which of course made me righteous. I'm very righteous, and the attackers, of course, were very wrong, very guilty, on the wrong side of the line. But at the same time, there was another position in the mind. And this position came from what I called this morning the higher mind, the higher right mind. It's what A Course in Miracles and NTI call the Holy Spirit. This position was do nothing. Do nothing. Just watch that desire to defend. You know, you could also put it in the words of MC Hammer, well, sort of changing the words a little bit, but, you know, don't touch this. Don't touch this. In fact, once when I was really feeling to step in and defend, because I just really thought somebody totally crossed the line in what they said. It was completely, completely untrue, and they were sharing it as if it was a truth, and other people were believing it. And I was really, this has got to be corrected. And, you know, my hands were moving towards the keyboard so that I could protect the reputation of NTI, and I heard very, very clearly, step away from the keyboard, which I did. Which I did. I stepped away from the keyboard. I went over to the love seat and I sat and I watched that desire to defend. I watched like an observer, not like a believer. I watched all those thoughts about, you know, this person and how he was spreading lies and, you know, people were believing him and I had to do something. I had to correct this. Well, and I watched. And I just sat there. And it seems to me that on that particular day, I sat there for around 20 minutes. But that could be wrong because, you know, the mind often remembers things incorrectly. But I sat there for some period of time just watching all of this energy in me. And then what I experienced was a transformation of the energy. The energy of victim, of righteous, of needing to defend, needing to correct, all of that energy, it transformed into love, into pure love. And the only way that I could see the situation was that this situation is here to help me let go of the belief that I am this little self. This situation is here to awaken me. And I then saw the person who, you know, in form would have looked like my greatest enemy at the time as my greatest helper. Like his only purpose here now is to help me. And if this transformed into so much love that if he had walked through the door of my house right then, I would have ran over and hugged him, probably crying with love. That wasn't the day the desire to defend died. It would still come up a little bit, but it became much, much easier to watch. It had less of a pull to it. I would say that was the beginning of the death of the desire to defend. And often, often now, I allow people to misperceive me, mishear me, disagree with me, and there's just no desire to defend. There's no desire to say, nope, 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 you don't understand who I am, let me tell you who I am. Nope, 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 you've got it wrong what I'm thinking or feeling, let me tell you what I'm thinking or feeling. I don't need to do that anymore. So let me read this quote again and then we'll go look at the journal. We only have 5 minutes left and I haven't even looked at the journal yet. So again, quote number 742 from the Yoga Vasishta. See, isn't that much more fun to say? You guys try it. Yoga Vasishta. It's lots of fun to say. All right. Self-knowledge is the realization of the unreality of the ego sense. Nothing else can ensure your true welfare. Hence, first abandon the individualized ego sense. In my defenselessness, my safety lies. All right, so let's look at the journal entry number 742 from July 27th, 2013. Believing the person self to be all that I am, one must experience stress and suffering. Knowing true self as self, free of all attachments to the idea of person self, one knows uninterrupted openness, freedom, joy. And that is hyphenated as one word. Openness, freedom, joy. Therefore, in order to be happy, let go of attachment to the idea, I am this person. Let go of attachment to the idea, I am this person. And that doesn't mean that the person isn't still present. It means that the person becomes something that you watch rather than believe it's me. If the person has some kind of a concern and is worrying about something, you can step back and you can watch that worry without being directly in it. When you watch that worry without being directly in it, you do not repress it, and you do not believe it. It's a middle way. And as you just watch that worry from the position of watching, if you get very, very good at watching, what you will notice is that anything can come and go. Anything can come and go. And none of it hurts you. Not you. None of it touches you. Not you. It has no effect on you. You begin to notice yourself as that changeless presence. And not the person. And it's in knowing yourself as that changeless presence that, if we're going to say your safety lies, that's where your safety lies, that actually it's beyond even the need for the idea of safety. but if we're going to stick with the language, you know, this is where your safety lies. Your safety lies in knowing yourself as the unaffected presence. And you can't observe anything from that unaffected presence. You can observe any response that comes from the person. You can observe any pain that seems to be in the person, whether it's physical pain or emotional pain. There's nothing you can't observe, and the reason for that is because there is nothing that you aren't observing now. This observing is very natural. It happens automatically. It's just that when you're identified with the person, you're not paying attention to the watching that is occurring. You're paying full attention to the drama that is occurring, thinking the drama is real. But if you step back into the watching, you'll notice the watching is always occurring. The watching is actually what is very real. And everything else is changing, coming and going, moving through, kind of like wisps of air, and they have no reality to them, reality being something with staying power. So in my defenselessness, my safety lies. I will just leave that with you all because my time is up. And so I'm going to release the mic. Thank you very much for coming and hanging out with me again. And I look forward to listening to Jacqueline and Kate along with y'all next. Bye-bye.